You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but sometimes, we like to take things to an extra degree or maybe to the left or to the right as opposed to moving forward. But, we get there somehow.
We're like the podcast that should have stopped to ask for directions about 4 miles ago, but we refuse to because we're very stubborn in our ways, and we're like, no, we're going to get there. We're going to get to the end of the show.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Be quiet. We got this under control.
Yeah.
And then eventually we have to stop and ask for directions because we're rambling off course.
But yes. But at some point, though, you will see something. You will hear something that you would not otherwise have heard if you stayed on the short path.
Yeah.
So take that. That's how we do things.
Fantastic.
So, speaking of overly long intros, we like to go over what we're up to in our lives. So, Mike, how you doing? How was the past week?
It was good. It was good. This weekend was a lot of fun. We went to see Marvel's Avengers: Infinity War, but we're going to get to that later.
Right. Save it for entertainment entree.
That's right. That's right. So stick around, guys. I guess the other big news is that after Infinity War, we got a chance to play A Way Out together finally.
You had recommended this.
I did several weeks ago, I think it was. I played through it, but this was your first time playing it. I thought it was a blast.
The game, the bit that
we got to play of it.
Right. So for those who don't know, it's this game. It's a co-op game. You have to have a friend.
Co-op only. That's the tricky part.
Right. You have to have a friend or somebody willing to go with you on this story. And it's this story about breaking out of prison and trying to get revenge on the people that framed you to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. It's a mix of puzzle, stealth, but also it's just fun to have this kind of new take on the co-op game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The fact that it had each player doing different things at different times, and you weren't always together doing the same activities.
No.
You know, like, you had your own little story going on, and I was, like, doing my own thing, and at times you'd come together and work on the same objective. It was really interesting. And the way it makes the interactions between the players part of the story, because you sort of, like, take on the characteristics of your characters as you're playing them. At least that's how I felt as we're playing through it. It's like if my character's struggling, it's like, come on, Rich, help me out, you know, and vice versa. You're like, go get that guy over there. And I'm like, all right, fine. You know, it was fun. The interaction in the game and then the interaction in real life, which is why I've always liked co-op games like that.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's definitely more fun to play it in a local co-op.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be as fun online, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Give it a shot, guys.
Yeah, and this game is, like, surpassing expectations. It's doing well.
Yeah,
EA was thinking, like, it wasn't going to do, you know, was it?
There was an article recently that I read that EA had projected this game to sell, I think it was, like, between 100 and 200,000 copies lifetime. And in, like, the month that it's been out, it sold over 1 million copies.
Yeah.
So far exceeded EA's expectations. And the real plot twist here is that this is part of one of EA's, like, specialty developer outreach programs where they fund these more creative projects and they let the developer keep all the profits.
Right. This was supposed to be their charity game.
Right. This is a charity game. Oh, it'll sell 150,000 copies. Then it ends up selling a million copies at $30 or $40 price point. EA's kicking themselves.
Yep.
Because they just gifted this but they're missing out on like $30-40 million profit right now.
Yep. Well, guess what? Serves them right.
It does. It does.
They make millions of dollars on other games.
Yeah, they're fine. I love seeing developers with creative ideas like this getting a chance to make games. So really, hopefully, this is a lesson to developers out there. Because the thing with this game is it sold a million copies, but you need two players to play it. So it sold a million copies, but that means 2 million people have played it.
Right.
So, you know, the audience keeps growing. Every copy that's sold is really two players worth. Yeah.
Right. But it was an interesting take. Like the split screen effect is different at times, which was very interesting.
Yeah, it would like shift one way or the other, and
yeah. So like there'd be times where if Mike's character was more important than my character in the mission, his screen would take up like 3/4 of the TV,
right.
And it was like, oh, something big's coming for him or something.
Right. It's dynamic. The whole thing is very dynamic, and even online it's split screen.
Yeah.
So you can always see what your partner is doing. It's just a very creative take on co-op.
Right. And they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun to play.
So that's what I did, Avengers Infinity War, playing video games. Did you happen to do anything else this weekend, Rich?
Yes, I did. So we pretty much did all this at the end of the weekend. To start the weekend off, though, I did gaming of another type. And that was game shows. We're starting to get ready for the 24-hour game show marathon, and one of the things that we did was we shot footage for an ambitious project that we're going to do this year. And I'm going to tease this early because I want people to know about the 24-hour game show marathon this year. Every year we try and one-up ourselves last year. We try and figure out like what's something we could do different. And this year we're going to try the popular celebrity game show Taskmaster, which is, for those who don't know, Taskmaster is a show where you get a couple of comedians and they have to perform seemingly mundane tasks, but there's always like a kicker or something, a wrench to throw in it that makes it tougher than it really is.
Right. And I got to tell you, Rich, to be quite honest, the first time you described it to me, I was like, okay, I get it. But I was like, not 100% sold on it. And I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you happen to show me the video that you guys shot, or part of the video you guys shot. And
which
it
is going to come out soon.
Yeah. So this is, you know, an unbiased perspective here. It was brilliant because it is a simple task. But the way in which different people's minds perceive that task and think about how to accomplish it, that's where all the craziness and hilarity comes from. Because you're watching this person think, how am I going to solve this simple task? And they take it in one direction that you had never even considered. So it was a lot of fun. The video is great. Sorry, I sort of stole your thunder there.
No, that's fine.
I figure the best hype you can get is somebody who's not part of it hyping.
Right,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Mike is the objective person,
and
he loved it.
Yes,
so
I did.
We're going to be releasing the preview clip of that online very soon. Keep an eye out on our social media channels. But yeah, we spent the whole day on Saturday shooting footage for Taskmaster and some other things for the Game Show Marathon, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's weird to think that it's only now almost a month away.
Yeah, it's getting real close.
Right, we're starting to get into the final countdown.
Guys, gotta hurry up.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe we're actually going to pull off Taskmaster. So make sure you tune into the 24-hour game show marathon and watch us play other game shows as well. We're gonna have, of course, we'll have this. You know, we always start off with Family Feud. That's
right.
A big one,
classic.
Throughout the evening, there's Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, all that stuff. But we also have oddball ones. And I think I'm doing a couple of them. So, yeah, make sure you tune in. The full schedule is up on GameShowMarathon.com. And if you want to donate and help us to our cause, make sure you go to the website and donate. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we want every year to be bigger and better. So that's our goal.
What's the goal this year in terms of money raised? Do you have a goal?
So last year we hit $7,200.
Wow.
And
that's awesome for just the small little...
Right.
Well, it's not small anymore, but in terms of, like, the people running it,
yeah,
you know.
So, ideally, we'd like to get better, get
right.
bigger and better on that. So, we'll see.
Okay. I think it's doable. You guys put on a good show.
It is amazing to see how much it has taken off. I mean, what was it, 4 years ago when I really like first did it? When we hit $2,500, we were like, what is happening?
Right.
Like, we literally did not think that was possible.
Now you've tripled that amount.
Yeah. So
just about.
It's interesting to see, like, the trajectory, like, you know, how far you've come. So.
Yeah.
We want this one to be bigger and better as well. So anything larger than last year's is a success as far as I'm concerned. So, but yeah, make sure you check us out, GameShowMarathon.com. June 9th, June 10th. Make sure you block that out in your calendar. Because we're going to have 24 game shows, 24 hours. Watch the whole thing. It'll be great. Watch us get sleep deprived. It's great. But
get sleep deprived with them.
Right. Why not? Get sleep deprived with us as you watch the marathon. It's great. But yeah, we'll hype that up more as we get closer to that date as well. All right. How about we get to the news topics at hand?
Let's do it.
Let's do our first batch. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face here in this first part of the show. And it's time to hit a topic as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. Time for the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, let's start the clock and go. Mike, what do you have?
All right, well, this week in the two-minute drill, we have some very big football news. The 2018 NFL draft recently happened. We got all of the news for you guys, but the one topic that we have to get to straight off the bat is concerning one of our favorite teams. We're talking, of course, about the Cleveland Browns. That's right. The Cleveland Browns, which seems a little confused. We love the Cleveland Browns here, though, don't we? In a sort of spiteful way.
Yes. Sure.
The answer's yes. Okay. But anyway, the Cleveland Browns had the first overall pick, and there was a lot of conversation about what they would do, what direction they'd go. As everyone knows, the Cleveland Browns went 0-16, so they're in desperate need of help. Well, it looks like the Cleveland Browns got their guy. They took quarterback Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, number one overall. Like I said, fans were wondering what this long trouble franchise would do with they had two top five picks. But they played it smart for once. I feel like they made, this is tough to say, but smart decisions at key positions. They took a quarterback at first, and then with the fourth overall pick, they took the top cornerback. So they're filling a lot of key positions on both sides of the ball. Rich, is this something positive for Cleveland Browns fans going forward?
I guess so. Especially if they really loved Baker Mayfield, which I'm assuming they did. But I kind of thought the general consensus was that the four quarterbacks available that were going to go in the top 10 were relatively equal.
Right.
But we'll see. I mean, because I felt like if they really did feel like they were all equal, they should have picked maybe Saquon Barkley at number one and then pick whatever quarterback was left over at number four.
Well, you know my opinions about running backs in the top 10.
Yeah, I know.
But you're right, Saquon Barkley is a phenomenal talent. Unfortunately, we're going to have to face him twice a year with the New York Giants taking him with their pick. But, you know, the Browns, they got the quarterback they wanted.
Ah! Damn it.
Just got to scream.
No, it's not, because now we're going to have to face Saquon Barkley twice a year.
You know what? We shut down Ezekiel Elliott, so I'm not worried about Saquon Barkley.
Nah.
And the Giants, I don't know what they're doing. They're a mess. Eli Manning's on his way out. We'll deal with it. It'll be fine.
Right.
It'll be fine. Look, Ezekiel Elliott barely put up 100 yards against our second and third string defenses. So I'm not overly concerned.
All right. Well, Mike is already jumping to a hot start. Let's officially launch into our NFL draft recap segment here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Everybody bitch moaning and complaining. It's like, dude, you know what? That's what you get for watching the draft. All right? Now, once again, what kind of a loser just sits there watching round after round? The Jets are up next. I think they need a cornerback. They need to improve the defensive line. Dude, that's like going to a graduation ceremony where you don't know anybody who's graduating. They're going to have the whole list the next day. They'll have everybody who drafted who, when.
And there you go.
It is painfully true.
Our tradition here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we always got to play the Bill Burr NFL draft bit that he does.
It is painfully true.
Yeah. But I gotta admit, now it's like I look forward to the draft. I don't know why. It's like the inner nerd comes out. I love watching the draft.
Well, you can't help it, and this year especially, since the Eagles were in quite a unique position in terms of draft order. They had the 32nd overall spot because they were the Super Bowl winning team.
That's right. So, as tradition, the Super Bowl champions pick 32nd in the NFL draft.
That's usually what happens.
Which are the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right.
Which they were the Super Bowl champions. By the way, they were the Super Bowl champions.
It never gets old. It never gets old. Everybody was looking forward to seeing the Eagles pick 32nd overall. I know I was. Tried to stay awake. Couldn't manage it. Because they have the draft on a Thursday night. I don't know why. The NFL is obsessed with Thursdays. They're like, let's put everything on Thursday. And it's like, No! Who wants to watch something at midnight on a Thursday? We have work
the next
day.
Take Friday off!
I'm not going to take Friday off just to watch the draft the night before. But anyway, so the big climactic moment, the 32nd pick comes up, and the Eagles did what everyone thought they were going to do and traded down.
Yeah.
I mean, we called it on the podcast.
It's the smart move.
Yeah.
And especially when you think about it this way, the Howie Roseman gets a second round pick now, a bonus second round pick for 2019.
Right. So let's break down the trade. I think it was a good trade. I want to get your opinion on it. But the Eagles sent the 32nd pick and the 132nd pick, their fourth round pick, to the Ravens. And in return, they received the 52nd, the 125th, and a 2019 second round pick, which gives them 2 second round picks in 2019. What did you think about this trade? You know, at the time I was sort of like, oh, I really wanted to see them draft somebody, but at the same time, that 2019 draft stock is now really good.
Right. And I think that's the move that the Eagles had to make.
Right. Especially since a lot of the players on the Eagles team, I hate to say this, but they're not going to be around forever. They're getting to the point where we're Super Bowl champions, and they're going to be getting a lot of attention during off seasons from here on out. So you have to think we need to plan appropriately for the future in order to replace these players as they move on to other teams, as their contracts become so big we can't pay them anymore. Because it's going to happen.
Yep, the NFL's fast.
Right. So Howie Roseman's playing the long game, which, you know, good for him. That's how we won a Super Bowl. Keep doing what you're doing. But I want to get to the actual players that we drafted, not just talk about the initial trade. The Eagles didn't stay at 52. They leaped up a couple spots to 49 overall in a trade with Indianapolis to take tight end Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State as their first pick.
Yes. And there's so many great things about this move.
There's a lot of great things about this move. I think the way we got to start it off, though, is how it was announced, right?
That's right. Because Philadelphia Eagles legend. Yeah.
He is. Absolutely.
Kicker David Akers was the one to give the announcement live at the NFL draft on Friday night. And it was up to him to roast the Dallas crowd. And I think he did a pretty good job. Here's the audio from it.
Tonight, I'm representing the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East champs, divisional champs, NFC champs, and world champs, the world champs. Hey, Dallas, the last time you were in the Super Bowl, These draft picks weren't born.
Yeah, take that.
I love it. I love it because...
And it's true.
Right. There's nothing they can say. They can boo and boo and boo all they like. Which, by the way, half-hearted boos. Just want to say that.
Yeah, if you're going to boo, yeah.
Boo like a real fan base.
Right.
Come to Philly and boo.
Yeah. All right. Learn from the professionals,
that's
okay?
That's right. We booed, what was it? The hockey commissioner threw like, like the 20 whole, straight minutes.
The whole third round of that draft. Yeah.
So... get that all out of the way first. Boo like a real fan base. But secondly, it's absolutely true. You can't even say anything, you know?
Yeah.
Dallas hasn't been in the Super Bowl in a very long time. So they just got to deal with it.
That's right. And it was just so good that David Akers put them in their place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the Eagles also had a chance to put their division rival, the Dallas Cowboys, in their place as well with this pick. Because I just love the symmetry here. They jumped ahead of the Dallas Cowboys in the draft order in order to take a player named Dallas in Dallas.
That's right.
You have to feel like Howie Roseman was sitting there like, this has got to happen. Right? just a tiny bit?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that didn't go through everybody's mind at that point. But the icing on the cake, of course, is the fact that Jason Witten, Dallas's longtime tight end, recently announced that he was retiring.
Yeah, like the night before.
Right. So not only did we get to stick it to Dallas with the David Akers burn and stick it to Dallas by jumping ahead of them in the draft and taking a player named Dallas, but also keep in mind this is one of the top-rated tight ends in the draft. Dallas desperately needed a tight end.
Yeah, if they really lose Jason Witten, yeah, they need a tight end now.
Desperately need one, and we stole the one that they were looking at.
Yep.
This move is just brilliant on so many different levels.
Oh, yeah, and this fulfills a key need that we have because we lost Burton.
Right.
And we cut Brent Celek.
Yeah.
So we were dangerously low on tight ends in this offseason. Now we got something to help out that need. So this is definitely a win.
Yeah, and I really like the Dallas Goedert pick. You know, he was projected to go first and second round. So, you know, right where he was supposed to fall on NFL.com, he's graded as, you know, a chance to become an NFL starter, which is exactly what you want to hear. But the best part about his draft analysis is the fact that his NFL comparison is Zach Ertz. I say yes, please.
Yes.
If you tell me we're going to get another Zach Ertz,
right.
That sounds really good to me.
Right. What's better than one Zach Ertz?
Two
Zach Ertz. Ta-da!
So there's
bad.
Yes, that is how math is done. I really like this pick from top to bottom. He's got good size. Apparently he's very good in the pass catching department. So Eagles fans, you have a lot of reason to be excited about this,
yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Right, and although this might be the only pick they had in the top 100, it's definitely something to be excited about because the Eagles
Absolutely.
Already have a quality team already.
Right. That's the thing people have to keep in mind is that this draft wasn't necessarily about picking up key starters that we need to fill in. This is about depth. This is about growth. So we're not expecting Dallas Goedert to step in and start. We have Zach Ertz. He needs to come in. He needs to learn from Zach Ertz. He needs to develop in order to take on that role 4, 5, 6 years down the line, okay? Like Zach Ertz did with Brent Celek. And that's what this draft is about. It's about building depth and about growing. And that's why a lot of experts are saying, you know, you have to grade the Eagles a little bit better because you also have to think of Sidney Jones from last year as a draft pick for this year because this is going to be his first year starting. So
yeah.
That's sort of the theme around this draft is growth and depth. And one of the other picks that I want to point out in this sort of theme is the next pick we had in the fourth round, big gap between our first and second picks. But cornerback Avante Maddox, this is a good depth pick from Pittsburgh. Analysts say he's got high character, short tackler, can play inside, lots of positive reviews. Mike Mayock even said that he would have been a first rounder if he were 6 feet. He's a little bit small, but this is a good depth pick. He can play inside at corner. We just lost Patrick Robinson,
yep.
So it fits a need. You know, he doesn't have to start right away. He can. They think that he's going to be very coachable, that he can iron out a lot of his, I don't want to say weaknesses, but a lot of the areas that he needs to improve through coaching and through technique. So I also really like this pick. People were really excited about him.
Yeah, and you can always use another cornerback.
Absolutely. With the NFL shifting to more pass-heavy, you can never have too many of those. Any other draft picks stick out to you, though? What do you think of the draft class for the Eagles? Is very small, 5 players.
Yeah.
One of the smallest we've ever had. But what do you make of the whole group here?
I also like seeing the 2 offensive tackles being drafted because,
yep.
Yeah, we definitely need some help making sure that Carson Wentz stays up.
Yep.
You know, stays up this season.
Absolutely.
No, we don't want any more injuries.
More depth there.
Right.
Exactly. I just got to say this. The one offensive tackle sort of jumped out at me. The 7th rounder we took, Jordan, I don't even know how to say the name.
Mailata.
He's not a college player. He's actually from Australian rugby. He's never played football in his life. But everybody says he possesses like this freakish athleticism. He's super fast for his build. He's huge, but he's really fast for his size. And again, this is the theme of the draft. A lot of analysts say he is a project pick. You're not going to see him in any sort of consistent rotation for 2-3 years. But they think that if you can coach him up, this dude is going to have a lot of potential just
right.
because of his physique and his athleticism.
Right. And he was drafted as a 7th rounder. So
right.
it's basically just, you know, it's a waste anyway.
Right.
7th rounder, you don't really get any value out of it.
It's the perfect project. It's
right.
the perfect project pick.
So yeah, why not? Get that, you know, use that 7th rounder for an experiment.
Right. Go for it. You know, think of the upside, right?
Right.
But overall, I like the draft. I thought the Eagles accomplished what they needed to accomplish. Maybe didn't have all the flashy players that we've had in years past, but I think this is a good, solid draft for what the Eagles needed to accomplish.
Yep. I think that's the way you have to phrase it, is for what the Eagles had to do, they did it. They did what they had to do, got a key need filled with the tight end pick, and then got a 2nd rounder out of it for next
right.
year.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's the proper way to phrase it.
Yeah.
On paper, it doesn't look like much, but for what they had to do, they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how you have to think about it.
Right. Any other reactions you had to the draft? Any other teams that maybe you scratched your head at or anything like that?
Well, I will say this, and I didn't really look at their picks, but I just wanted to call out the Patriots had 2 first-round picks this year. How do they manage to do this stuff?
Well, they traded away Cooks.
Cooks
was a
yeah.
first-rounder.
I know, but just doesn't it piss you off that the Patriots have had 2 first-round picks?
Oh, yeah. That's why I thought for sure they were up to something. They had they had 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks.
Did they really?
Yeah, I thought for sure they were going to move up. I thought there
wow.
was going to be some sort of like last-second trade by Bill Belichick, and he was going to swipe like one of those 4 quarterbacks or something.
I saw an article that implied that the Patriots could have and were actually looking to jump up to number 2 to try and take one of those quarterbacks. They have no quarterbacks other than Brady.
Right.
And Brady's 41?
41, yeah. It's not looking good there. Oh, wait, no, don't they have Hoyer? Did he still keep him?
That's right. You're going to count Hoyer, Rich?
Yeah, the Thunder Hoyer.
The Thunder. Okay. Let's... sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that was just the one team that jumped out at me. I'm just going through our division rivals to see what they did. I really don't know. I'm happy that that Dallas didn't take a tight end until, like, the mid-4th round, so that excites me.
Just fun little fact if you want to impress friends at the bar or something. In the first round of this draft, the number 1 overall pick, Baker Mayfield, was the 2017 Heisman Trophy winner. And since we traded our 32nd pick to the Ravens, they used it to pick up Lamar Jackson, who was the 2016 Heisman Trophy winner. So the first round was bookended by 2 different Heisman Trophy winners.
Huh. That's really interesting.
Right, yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Now, yeah, that is super strange.
Yep.
But it's pretty cool. The other thing I thought was interesting, there was 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round.
That's right.
A lot of quarterbacks.
Right.
I think there were 4 in the top 10.
I think the biggest one is probably, obviously in terms of scope, obviously Cleveland gets their quarterback that they wanted.
Right.
But I think the Ravens picking Lamar Jackson... Wow. I was like, ooh, I guess that means Joe Flacco only has like 1 or 2 more seasons.
Joe Flacco. Let's just get one thing straight for everybody out there. Joe Flacco was never and will never be an elite quarterback.
What? The Delaware Destroyer?
Never.
What?
You, okay, okay. So Joe Flacco and Nick Foles both won Super Bowls.
Yes.
We can say that now. Which one had the better performance?
Nick Foles.
Absolutely, 100%. Has Joe Flacco ever had a performance like Nick Foles' Super Bowl performance?
No.
Okay.
But Joe Flacco...
And how many games has Joe Flacco started with a stellar defense.
Wait. Just for the record, though, Joe,
and a good run game.
The year that they did win the Super Bowl, he didn't put up fluky numbers either. He was actually consistent.
That's fine.
Right,
that's fine.
I'm just
consistent. Not make elite.
Okay, I don't know. I just don't want you to make it sound like he lucked into a...
Sam Bradford is consistent. You can be consistent and terrible at the same time.
Yes, but I don't know. You just make it sound like he like lucked in his way into a Super Bowl. He did a fair amount of work. That season, he was actually pretty good.
Did Eli Manning luck his way into Super Bowls? Because it's very similar teams. Really strong run game, really strong defense, and a quarterback that gets the job done.
But Eli Manning also had, like, freaking ridiculous, like...
He did.
Sent from God catches.
He's like...
The Tyree
catch. Here, Tyree, catch this football with your helmet. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm throwing. Here you go. Just done.
Just closes his eyes and launches it.
And somehow Tyree came down with that
for
ball.
Some reason, I'm not a fan of Joe Flacco. So, the Ravens picking Lamar Jackson, yeah, that makes sense to me. I see that. I get that.
Okay. To me, that was like, ooh, I guess that's a changing of the guard coming soon.
But did that really surprise you, though?
I don't know. I thought, like, I don't know. How old is Joe Flacco? That's
I don't even know. The biggest thing about Joe Flacco that serves as a piece of evidence that he's not very good is that you can't remember a single thing about him. I mean, think about it. Every other good quarterback is like, oh, yeah, I remember when Drew Brees threw for 5,000 yards. I remember when Tom Brady threw for 52 touchdowns.
I remember when he was from Delaware.
Right. That's the only thing Joe Flacco has is he's from Delaware.
Yes. All right. That means a lot. he's 33, so I guess he's got two or three seasons left.
Two or three seasons, yeah. So, yeah, Lamar Jackson.
He does have a couple of concussions, too. So to anybody who's thinking like he's going to play till he's 40, no. Uh-uh, he's got a couple concussions.
The playing tool.
Especially the nasty one. Oh, remember that one last year?
Yeah, was that the dirty hit?
That was the dirty hit, yeah.
Listen, playing to 40, that is not the norm. Right. That is the outlier. Okay?
Right.
Manning and Brady, you know, both of them played to their 40s. Brett Favre, these guys are like freaks. That's not normal. Usually when somebody gets to 33 in the NFL, you're like, oh, man, is he retiring tomorrow? You know?
Yeah. Just for the record, Mike, the year that they won the Super Bowl, he threw 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1,200 passing yards.
Okay, fantastic. I don't care.
Just an FYI. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, FYI, you always kind of conveniently gloss over like, oh, he just lucked into a Super Bowl. No, he actually put
up
some
numbers.
Okay, hold on.
I didn't say he lucked into a Super Bowl, but he also got to play against the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, that was the Harbaugh Bowl.
Name one good season the 49ers had before that. And then name one good season the 49ers had after that.
Well,
and that tells you what type of team they are.
Well, they didn't have one after that. Yeah. Before it.
It's the 2006.
Jeff Garcia.
Right? It's the same thing as the Chicago Bears. I mean, yeah, Manning didn't luck into a Super Bowl, but he sure as hell had an easy time. Much easier than playing the Patriots and Tom Brady. Come on now. Let's be real.
All right. I just don't want you. I don't know. I like my boy.
I know you like Joe Flacco. I know you like Joe Flacco. I know you like Joe Flacco.
Delaware Destroyer, man.
Is that his nickname?
I don't
know. Or is that just something you decided to call him?
Something I just bestowed because I'm thinking of George Thorogood. Bad to the bone. Da-na-na-na-na. Okay. No, right. All right. Right over
the next head. I know the song you're talking about, but I just don't see how that connects with the Delaware Destroyer.
Because his band was the Delaware Destroyers. George Thorogood is...
Oh, I thought it was just George Thorogood.
Okay, anyway. All right.
Maybe it did go right over my head.
Yes, it did. It went right over Mike's head. All right, moving on. One quick news bulletin that I want to mention.
Okay.
Because I think it's always good to keep an eye on some other things that aren't football.
No comment.
No comment from Mike. But this Saturday, it's the Kentucky Derby. It's this weekend. It's always good to keep an eye on the big three horse races. And who knows, maybe it's the beginning of the Triple Crown at hand.
Yeah, who knows? But what I'm really interested in is why you're playing this music, Rich.
Because I love gambling. And horse racing is a great opportunity to go gambling. Why not?
Because I love gambling.
Yeah.
Right to the point.
Right. This is my gambling music.
Yes.
So, I don't know. If you're feeling adventurous, if you're feeling lucky, why not? Go head on out Saturday. You can watch the Kentucky Derby, have a mint julep, have some fun gambling. Why not? I think it's a good Saturday lined up.
There you go. Perfect.
trying to expand your mind over here, Mike.
No, I want to keep my mind small and closed. I kid.
But no, it's good. I always find it interesting to watch at least the first one. Kentucky Derby has like kind of the whole historical thing behind it. And
I like to jump in if a horse is doing really well. Remember one year we had like a huge argument on the podcast about it?
Oh, that's right.
It was like the one and only time we've covered horse racing, and it was like a heated 20-minute discussion.
I remember what it was. Yeah.
Oh, God.
The horse.
I'm having flashbacks.
There was a horse that won the first two races.
Yeah.
And then he was in it for the third race.
Yep.
And he was favored to win, and a fresh horse that only entered the third race.
Yeah.
Beat him in that race to prevent him from getting the Triple Crown, and we argued whether or not that should have been allowed.
You thought it was fine. I was annoyed by it. We're not going to rehash it. But, I remember that vividly. I'm having, like, PTS-style flashbacks right now.
Yes.
About our argument about horse racing. Of all things.
Ah!
Of all things horse racing.
Yeah.
There's only, like, three things we argue about, and it's apparently Batman versus Spider-Man, Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, and horse racing.
No. Just specifically that one,
that one
rule in horse racing.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. And I like to rib you about Michael Jordan versus LeBron, but that's not really an argument.
Right, because obviously Michael Jordan wins. Anyway.
Oh, I was thinking the other way. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'll get it.
No, so that's the way we end it here on the Sports Sampler. Go ahead. Watch some horse racing this weekend. Why not? Kentucky Derby. But there you go. That will wrap up the Sports Sampler. Go have yourself a nice mint julep and enjoy the horses at the Kentucky Derby. I think it's fancy. But that will wrap up the segment. Coming up next, we'll have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still got plenty more shows still to come. We will be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the Sports Sampler and all the draft recapping. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
Yep. It's always good to look forward and see what the Eagles have coming up in terms of rookies and everything like that. But now we move away from the sports realm, and it is time to get to the second part of the show. Folks, it is time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Take a listen. Maybe it's good. Yeah. It's called Wawa Hoagies.
Get some Hoagies.
I'm eating Wawa Hoagies. I'm eating Wawa Hoagies. I need a Wawa Hoagie. Should I get turkey roast beef or bologna? I'm eating Wawa Hoagies. I'm eating Wawa Hoagies. I need a Wawa Hoagie. Should I get turkey roast beef?
That's good. Play it, Ruth. Can you play it? Go.
I'm eating Wawa Hoagies. why, hoagie? Should I get turkey, roast beef, or bologna?
Get a kitty.
Eat a why, hoagie. I'm eating wild, hoagie.
When was the last time that I got a good old rubbing?
And there you go. That's a random sound clip of the week. Comes from Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, representing the Northeast with a custom song called Wawa Hoagies.
That was very touching.
I think that needs to be played on all radio stations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Screw Kanye West, screw Cardi B, what's another one?
don't know any.
What is this fancy hip music? I don't know. I can't think of another rapper now. I just went blank. Anyway, the point is, put them all off to the side. Put this on.
Wawa.
Put Wawa Hoagies
on. Wawa Hoagies.
Because that's the single that's lighting up the East Coast.
I loved it.
Yes.
And you know what? It hits close to home because I love me some Wawa Hoagies.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. What's your favorite sandwich at Wawa to get? Like what's your go-to type of sandwich that you make?
So if I'm feeling more on the cold side, I'll get a turkey hoagie with avocado and the horseradish spread.
Oh, I've never gotten horseradish spread.
It's a good mixture.
Nice. I might have to try that sometime.
And if I'm feeling hot, then I want the meatball sandwich. Can't go wrong with the meatball sandwich.
You like meatball subs.
Oh.
I know you're a meatball
sub type
person.
Wawa meatball sandwich is amazing.
Yeah. I like their meatballs.
Yeah.
Some people disagree with me, but I like their meatballs. I like their mac and cheese as well. Put some Old Bay on top of there. So good.
Yeah, that's right. They do Old Bay now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can order that on the menu.
Oh, you have to. You have to. It's so good. But what I really like to do, my go-to is the chicken chipotle cheesesteak. It's the chopped up chicken with whatever type of cheese you want, and it's got the chipotle sauce, and I usually get bacon and avocado on it, and it's delicious.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a huge calorie bomb.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It will kill you. You eat one of those, and you're like, all right, where's the ambulance?
Done.
Done.
Boom. It just falls over.
You just take a bite and just thud. You just die instantly.
Oh, what happened? It was unbelievable. He ate a bite and it just went down.
You know what else I've really been liking recently are the wraps. I like just their pre-made wraps. Because sometimes you go into, at least the Wawa closest to me, if it's really packed, you have no shot at getting anything. Because it's a smaller Wawa. It's not one of those big super Wawas.
Not super Wawa.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we have Wawas and super Wawas.
Right. And then eventually, they have to make an even bigger one, Mega Wawa.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Then it's the one like down in Center City where it's just like a madhouse all the time.
Do they, now correct me if I'm wrong, but are they doing Wawas with like seating in them or near them? I heard a rumor about that.
There's one in Southville that I think is the one you're thinking of. It has like tables and stuff like that.
Right, right, right.
But there's another one in Center City, Philly. It's right on Broad Street.
Oh, my gosh.
It gets mobbed at 2 o'clock in the morning because that's when everyone gets out of the bar.
Right.
That's when the bar's closed down, and all of a sudden you realize, I might need to sober up.
Make a Wawa run, yeah.
You think, Wawa. The only problem is it's you plus 1,000 other Philadelphians that thought of the same thing. What was it? We were at Spring Garden Street, and, yeah, we were coming up. We were leaving the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're like, yeah, let's get some Wawa. Sober up. And we got there. It was packed. You would have thought like a celebrity had just appeared or something. Like they were promoting Wawa at 2 in the morning or something. It was a madhouse.
Well, where else do you go when the bars are closed? Wawa's like probably.
Yeah, but it's Philadelphia. I'm sure there's other places open.
No, it's
I'm
just
sure
Wawa.
You could find. I'm sure
it's
you
just
could,
Wawa.
No, no. In Philly, I'm sure you could find some random cheesesteak place open.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
somewhere.
Wawa has more options.
Yeah, that's true if you don't feel like a cheesesteak.
But who doesn't feel like a cheesesteak? Now I want cheesesteaks, Rich. What's your problem?
I don't know.
Just the mention of it is like, you know what? I want a cheesesteak.
I just like this song that I heard on the TVs, and I decided to run with it. So fight me.
That's Wawa Hoagie. Wawa is a popular convenience store in Philly. Do you guys know Wawa?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that. He also had to like explain what Wawa is.
It's a popular convenience store in Philly.
Well, and I guess it's true. Nobody else past the Eastern Standard Time area.
Well, they got some in Jersey. They got some in Florida. So it's not just Philly.
You didn't hear the rest of my sentence. I said everybody in the Eastern Standard Time Zone knows it. Yes. All right. No, I was trying to be deceptive.
No, but that's not even true.
What? What outside of the Eastern Time? What? Where?
I don't think they have them in like New York and up there. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm saying that if you take the sliver,
three states.
Coming
soon to more. I think Wawa should be national.
It should be.
I think it should be international.
Wow.
I love Wawa.
Where would they open up international?
It's just everywhere. Canada, the UK, France.
Wawa.
Wawa.
Wawa. Come to Wawa.
Wawa, wee wee.
Wawa, wee wee. We give you what you want.
Wee wee, Wawa.
Yes. You get small little sandwich. Wawa, wee. I don't know.
This got weird.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is, the song is Wawa Hoagies, and it was on tonight's show. And I love every minute of it. Thank you, Jimmy Fallon, for representing Philly.
I need a Wawa hoagie. Should I get turkey roast beef or bologna?
Yeah, so there you go. Make sure you get your Wawa today. We should have been paid for this. Damn it.
Why didn't I think of this? We did a lot of good promo work for Wawa right there.
All
right.
Well, I'm going to send a clip.
Tweet at them.
Tweet at Wawa that the crispy noodle made you.
Wouldn't that be great if we tweeted at them and like, look at all this cool stuff we said about Wawa. And they're like, here's a coupon for a free sandwich.
You know what?
I'm just throwing it out there, Wawa. It's just a suggestion.
Look, guys, the bar is low for us. We just want a free sandwich. That's all we want.
The bar is super low. It doesn't even have to be like a 10-inch. You could just get like a shorty. It's fine.
Right.
We'll
take it.
Just anything. A small meatball container.
Yes.
It's fine.
Okay, one more note about Wawa.
Okay.
One just opened up I guess technically it's Conshohocken, but doesn't really think. I don't think of it as Conshohocken. It's right on Ridge, and it's really close to my house. And it is
that sounds dangerous,
right? It is. It has completely changed my idea of like
how you commute to work.
Yeah,
how you commute to and from work
because it's like, oh my gosh! Like if I'm a little bit early, ooh, I can get a breakfast burrito. Like,
right?
Ooh,
right.
I can stop and forget. Like. It is amazing. Like so before this in Norristown, the only Wawa that you could get to was either the one like all the way up, like close to Eagleville, or the one that's located in like Conshohocken.
Well, there's one on 202, isn't there?
On, well, what in King of Prussia?
No, oh, yeah, I think it's in Norristown.
Yeah. What?
Wait. What were you saying? What town are you starting in?
Norristown.
Norristown. There's one on 202.
Are you talking about the one that's in King of Prussia? What are you talking about?
No, not the one in King of Prussia. The one that's near 202 and 73.
Oh, that's more skip back. No, you're going out. You're going out.
That's close to Norristown.
I guess. No, you know what it is? You're going to hit traffic on 73.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, 202 there is bad, too.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, we're a traffic podcast now. Here we are over on the Jackrabbit of 202. We don't know what's happening. There seems to be an overturned tractor trailer. Don't go this way. Back to you, Mike.
I know. We're talking about Wawa. We're like, if you just take 202, there's a Wawa right there on your left. Like, what is happening?
Dear God. All right. We need to. All right. Before this turns into like a Delco podcast or something.
Giving people directions to Wawas.
Anyway, the whole point of my story was,
right,
for the first time, I have a Wawa, like, conveniently, like, 5 minutes from my house, and it just changed, like, my whole perception of commuting. Anyway, that was the whole point of that story. All right. Now we got to move on in the entertainment
entree. Rain it back in.
Right. we got to keep moving forward here. Time for this segment where Mike lets you know what's coming up in... How about a food? You going to talk about Wawa?
I'd love to.
Yeah, okay. All right. he's going to let you know what's coming up in TV, movies, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
No sausages. No sausages. No sausages.
Sausages!
That's right. No more sausages.
I don't think Wawa has like a sausage sandwich. Like if they have hot dogs, and I think they used to have a sausage.
No, I don't think they.
Breakfast sandwiches.
Right, other than breakfast sandwiches. Right. I don't think they do like a sausage sandwich now.
Wawa, get on it.
There you go.
Sausage and peppers. Let's
and
do
give us that free coupon.
That's right.
All right.
Anyway, this week in entertainment, first up, a little bit of television news. There's some interesting shows available to stream this week on Netflix. First up, Dear White People returns for its second season. This satirical comedy and drama features a story about a group of African-American students at a predominantly white school at which they face and must cope with social injustices. The show couples weighty social discussions with satire and drama and a lot of style. It's been very popular so far, earning an average rating of 8.6 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. So if you want something that combines, you know, some serious talk with some satire, go check out Dear White People on Netflix. Also on Netflix, if you want something that is just very lighthearted, family-friendly, and sounds like a lot of fun, go check out A Little Help with Carol Burnett. I gotta say, I love the premise of the show. Burnett is joined by a group of 5 to 9-year-olds. I realized I forgot to type the numbers in there. Who weigh in on different dilemmas brought in by everyday adults in front of a live studio audience. Each episode also features a special celebrity contributor. So I guess adults come and they're like, I'm having trouble with such and such. And these kids, 5 to 9, give them advice, which is a genius concept because kids have no perception of reality. And it's going to be hilarious. So kind of looking forward to seeing what these crazy kids come up with.
Okay. Yeah. Kids always say the darndest things.
They do. They do. We're not allowed to talk about that show anymore.
Oh!
Which, by the way, I got to talk about some sound clips that you have in your portfolio that we need to get rid of.
Fair enough. I guess that's true.
What a shocker! Oh, but we're not going to dive into that. Instead, we're going to talk about video games.
Yeah.
A new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation gamers this month get Beyond Two Souls by developer Quantic Dream. This game originally released on PlayStation 3. It's been remastered for the PlayStation 4. It is a non-linear story and choice-driven adventure game about a young girl's lifelong relationship with a supernatural force that has ingrained itself in her life. I don't want to say too much because it might give it away. But this game, when it first released, was both praised and criticized for its really ambitious approach to storytelling. We both played the game. We really like this developer.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. So if you are a PlayStation Plus subscriber, go get the remastered version for PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I love Quantic Dream, and I'm one of those guys that I would rather have a great story than great gameplay.
Right.
So that might be a fault on me, but I love this game.
Well, this game is that in spades.
Yeah.
Gameplay was always iffy, but right. The story was really interesting.
I really enjoyed the story. The acting is also great. You have Ellen Page, William Dafoe.
Oh my gosh, it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. Go check it out. There's no reason not to.
Right.
And finally, in movies, are you kidding me? There's nothing out this week. Go watch Avengers Infinity War, people.
Yeah.
This movie.
I don't think anybody's going to try and compete with Infinity Wars at the box office.
I mean, there are technically movies, but not really.
Yeah.
And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, and I think that's a good transition into our main topic here in the Entertainment Entree. We got to go over Avengers Infinity War. All right, so I think we're going to split this up into two segments here. First, spoiler-free, and then the second part, spoiler. So where do you want to start, Mike?
Well, let's start with the spoiler-free discussion so that people who just want to hear a little bit of Marvel talk can listen in. Basically, Marvel's Avengers Infinity War came out this past weekend, and it is probably going to go down in film history as one of the biggest releases of all time. This movie caps off an incredible journey that was started 10 years ago in 2008 with Iron Man. The Marvel Cinematic Universe finally coming to a semi-conclusion. I don't know quite yet what
No, it's not a conclusion. Let's
not
be,
a conclusion.
Be, yeah, well, be honest. It's not going to be a...
Well, the trilogy of phases is rapidly approaching its conclusion. After that, there might be something else, but Infinity War marks the beginning of the end of the first collection of Avengers.
Okay, yeah, yep, I would agree with that.
But the cinematic universe, Rich, I think, personally, I don't know how you feel about it, but this is really, when you look at it, a historic moment in films because, I mean, think about the gall of Marvel. They come out in 2008, and they say, we are going to spend the next 10 years releasing 18 interconnected films featuring B and C list superheroes and cap it all off by bringing them all together in one climactic cinematic event. That's insanity. It doesn't make any sense on paper.
Well, it makes...
In 2008, it doesn't make any sense on paper.
Hold on. In 2008, they knew that they wanted to do the Avengers initiative and everything like that.
Right.
I don't know if they had it all planned out that they were going to do specifically 18 films and da-da-da-da and all that
stuff. I may have been embellishing a little
bit.
But the point still stands. I mean, nothing like the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been attempted in films. And nothing
to this degree, yeah, with Disney just churning them out, you know, on such an epic scale.
Let me explain to people. I'm not talking about there haven't been series before. Obviously, there have been series.
Right.
But the Marvel Cinematic Universe are interconnected series. It would be like if, I don't know, Die Hard and Indiana Jones were part of the same universe. I just picked two random series. I couldn't think of any
two
other
action
series. Two action heroes. They're part of the same universe. Like Die Hard is Indiana Jones' long-lost son, which is almost as bad a plot as the fourth Indiana Jones. that's what we're talking about here, where Marvel set up this huge universe.
Well, you know what? By your logic, you could be saying that about the Hammer universe.
What is the Hammer?
The ones with Universal monsters, the early ones, like in the '30s, because that had like Dracula, Frankenstein, those monsters weaving in and out of movies,
but not to this degree. I mean, this is a
right.
Story.
This was obviously had some planning beforehand.
Right. Each movie didn't depend on the other series, but you could feel it in its life force that it was all part of a much larger universe. There were Easter eggs, there were plot threads that were continued across series, across sequels, and in the team-up movies. This was super ambitious, and even to this day, I think evidence that it's super ambitious is the fact that nobody else has been able to copy it. The only DC... Look, I don't care what you say. I'm sorry, but it's not... It's just not at the same level.
No.
Marvel struck gold, and they have accomplished what others have failed to accomplish and what others have not even attempted. And they are pulling it off in spades. And that's why I think that the Marvel Cinematic Universe really deserves a special note in film history. I mean, 18 movies over 10 years, all interconnected in the same world, that all relate back to each other with recurring characters and plot lines and... You know, you see events in other movies mentioned in, you know, future series, and it's just breathtaking, the scope and the scale of it. Don't you agree?
I would agree to a certain... I would say the majority of what you're saying is true, yes.
Okay.
I think, though, you would do to put a little bit more of an embellishment on it. I'm just saying, because I know you're a big Marvel guy. I'll let you go with it. But
okay. I don't think I put that much embellishment on it. Because
if I can put embellishment on golf, I'll let you slide with with Marvel.
Well, I mean, think about the way it shaped movie history, though. I mean, think about the way that people approach movies now and how movie studios approach movies.
Well, tell you what, I absolutely will give you credit that nobody can duplicate this. DC can't duplicate. DC has been failing at this, and now
Universal
wants to do it with a reboot of the monster movies. They're going to fail epically.
They already have failed epically.
Yeah.
When you launch with The Mummy
and it
loses money
with Tom Cruise,
oh, you're in for a bad time, Universal.
Yeah.
But again, so yes, I have a soft spot for Marvel in my heart. But I mean, really keep in mind, who was Iron Man in 2008? Iron Man was a relative nobody.
Oh, yeah.
Who was Guardians
Robert Downey Jr. before Iron Man?
Right. Even better.
He was a washed up, drugged out actor.
Yeah.
Nobody trusted him.
This movie, think about all the careers this launched.
Yeah. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. What's the Thor guy?
the Thor guy.
Help me out here. Come on, man. What's
Hemsworth.
His name? Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm forgetting.
Ruffalo.
I'm forgetting. Well, Ruffalo,
though, had been in a couple of movies beforehand.
But, I mean, really launched.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson. She's been in other stuff, but really this propelled her. I mean, it started careers. It made unpopular heroes popular. It changed the way studios thought about movies and just how movies can relate to each other. I think years from now, people are still going to be talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what it accomplished. And that's why I think Infinity War deserves a special note, because this is what it's all been building up to. That's what all these movies have been building up to, is this conflict. And just thinking back on some of those movies, there's been a lot of great ones over the years. And I got to know, Rich, now that we're heading into the final part of Phase 3, the original planned three phases, what were some of your favorite MCU movies? If I had to press you for like a top five in no particular order.
Okay. Definitely the first Iron Man. I vividly remember actually rewatching it, because I was just like, wow, this is just a great movie. Like, this was a well put together movie. And
did that change people's perspectives about superhero movies?
Yes. Oh yeah. That was like, oh my gosh, like, this is now, it was moving comic books into like a sense of realism, I felt like.
Yeah. Because the only thing we had up to that point was Spider-Man and I think the Fantastic Four and X-Men.
Right.
And those movies, while popular, weren't Marvel popular.
You're right.
Like, there's a different scale, right?
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that.
So Iron Man would have to be on there. I loved Winter Soldier. That was a great one. Civil War. Which I always thought Civil War should not have been a Captain America movie.
That was basically Avengers 2.5.
Right, that should have been an Avengers movie. The first Avengers movie was great.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron, not so much. Guardians. Guardians of Galaxy.
I was going to ask you, where's Guardians? Where's Guardians?
Got to have Guardians for the soundtrack. And I love the character of Star-Lord and Peter Quill. And
the way it brought humor into it.
I mean, that's something, too. Everybody's copying off of Guardians of the Galaxy now. Yeah. Everybody feels like you have to throw some humor in it now.
Right.
So that's another legacy point you can mention.
Yeah. Just
put that on your
I'm
gonna list
add,
of accomplishments.
I'm going to add that to the checklist. I mean, come on. We can't undersell what this universe has accomplished, I think. My top five movies, in no particular order, got to put the first Avengers up there. Changed the way that we looked at what team-up movies could be, in the same way Civil War and Guardians, the same thing, both changed the way we look at how movies can be. Civil War especially, the drama that it brought to the superhero movie genre.
Civil War was great.
I mean, that was a very, at times, heavy movie for these heroes. You know, it's heroes fractioning off from each other. Good stuff right there. You know what? Maybe it's just a recency bias, but I gotta put Black Panther up there. Black Panther was, in terms of setting, in terms of villain, in terms of character development, in terms of what it meant on a social aspect, the themes and the demographics it covered, was just phenomenal. And
Mike wants to go to Wakanda.
I want to go to Wakanda. What'd I say? Avengers, Guardians, Civil War, Black Panther. I'm gonna go Spider-Man. I gotta put Spider-Man.
Right,
in
of course. Yeah, you can't.
I don't know
that's
if that,
your favorite superhero.
I don't know if that counts as official MCU. I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They made. So I got coming.
It's the first Spider-Man movie that did Spider-Man completely right.
Yeah.
It's a young kid who fits both Peter Parker and Spider-Man, and it captures everything about what it means to be Spider-Man. So, really loved that one.
Okay.
I'm just gushing and glowing over the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how great it's been. But I think... What?
Yep. I think we can all tell, Mike.
Come on. I know you're busting my chops, but you have to really sit back and marvel at...
Ah!
at what Marvel has accomplished. Yes. I mean, it can't be understated.
Yes.
Or it can't be overstated, rather. So I think it's appropriate now to transition from talking about the cinematic universe to talking about its capstone movie, Marvel's Avengers Infinity War. And we're going to start this off with playing our spoiler warning, because we're going to get into some real big spoiler stuff. It's a spoiler! It's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
Yeah, spoiler territory.
So, if you haven't seen Infinity War, please, for the love of all that is holy, skip forward in the podcast now.
Yeah, and go see it.
Yes, go see it right now.
Okay.
So.
The review.
Wow. We both saw it.
Yes.
Where
do you want to start?
Gosh. I you know, just watching it, I was so overcome with just the enormity of what we were seeing. It's just this climax of all 18 other movies that we had watched up to this point. I had really high hopes going in. I was expecting a lot from it. And overall, I think it delivered on most of them. I really enjoyed the fact that immediately the stakes were raised sky high. Immediately we see, you know, everybody's been talking big game about Thanos, but could he deliver as a villain? And within the opening minutes, absolutely yes. I mean, you really break down what Thanos did. Destroyed a starship of Asgardians, beat the Hulk in hand-to-hand combat with hardly any Infinity Stones, captured Thor, killed Heimdall, and killed Loki.
Yes. I would say, though, that there's a problem with that.
What?
Because to me, I mentioned this right after it happened. I said that this would have been a great capstone to the end of Thor Ragnarok. Because to go back to a point that we made about Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy is a great movie, but I felt like its effects were bleeding into future Marvel movies. And I think one of the victims of that was Thor Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok, even though it's a great movie, Thor Ragnarok was definitely pressed by the impact of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. There's a lot of humor in that movie.
There was.
There's a lot of there's interesting soundtrack choices in that movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
If that movie ended with the first 5 minutes of Infinity War, I think that would have put the serious mark on that movie that it needed, and then it would have been a great cliffhanger for Infinity War. And part of me pissed off that they didn't put that as the end of Thor Ragnarok.
Well, I totally get that. It would have added a lot to the ending of Thor Ragnarok. And I think the only reason they didn't do that is because you have Thor Ragnarok, and then after that, you have Black Panther. So I just think timing-wise, it'd be really tough to be like, oh my God, everyone's dead. By the way, this is Wakanda. It's just really tough to make that transition. If you have that cliffhanger, and that would have been the cliffhanger to end all cliffhangers, and it kind of really would have thrown that movie into all sorts of out of whack, I think, by ending it on such a big note, and then going immediately to Black Panther. I think viewers would have probably been like, well, yeah, but what about that other thing that's happening? It would have detracted from Black Panther. It would have left fans of Thor Ragnarok sort of disappointed that that's how it ended, instead of having a more complete ending. So that's why I think they didn't do that. And why they put it at the front of Infinity War is, I mean, it accomplished exactly what they wanted to accomplish, starting in the middle of the action right away. Boom. You're right there in the thick of things. There's no buildup. There's no long-winded explanation. You're already in the midst of it, on the edge of your seat. The stakes are sky high. I thought it was a good opening. It required you to watch Thor as context, which I think may have been kind of a stumbling block, because if people hadn't seen Thor Ragnarok, they would have been like, what in the hell is happening?
Yeah.
Right? So I get it from that perspective, but I sort of understand why Marvel decided to do what they did there. But, you know, that criticism aside, let's talk about Thanos as a villain. What did you think of him as a villain, as this force that required all the Avengers to come together? Because one of the things that my brother JB had been saying up you know, leading up to it is like, is Thanos really that big a threat? Like, I mean, why do they need to get everyone together? And I was like, well, just you wait and see what the Infinity Gauntlet's capable of.
Right. I totally get that part. Obviously, when he's getting close to achieving the full gauntlet, that's when you know the stakes are getting more and more intense. So that doesn't I totally saw that. That wasn't a problem for me. I think for the most part, Thanos is a great villain, and Josh Brolin did a great job of portraying him. My only critique would have been the whole scene when he sacrifices Gamora. Because he's already gone. It's already established that he's killed civilizations to achieve, I think at that point, two or three stones already.
I think it's three stones, yeah.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, he's already past the point where he's unredeemable.
Right.
You know? And then they work in this plot where, the storyline where he has to sacrifice Gamora, his daughter, to achieve the Soul Stone, because the only way you achieve the Soul Stone is to sacrifice somebody you love. And the way that they shot it, they added like tears to him, and he's like,
right.
He's like sad he has to do it and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know, to me, I was just, that kind of threw me off. I was just like, you already killed massive amounts of people. You know, like, to me, like,
right.
the tragedy of that would have been more effective if that was like the first stone or something. You know,
right.
He's already gone at that point. You already, there's no redeeming him. So to me, it was like, it's pointless. It's like, what, are you trying to make me feel sorry for him? Like, no, he's already trying to do, you know, wicked, you know, the most wicked evil, so he can get the Infinity Gauntlet anyway. So that kind of threw me off in the middle of the movie.
And we talked about that immediately after seeing the movie, and I've had a little bit of time to reflect on it. And I totally get where you're coming from. There is a little bit of cognitive dissonance there where it's like, are we supposed to think that he is somehow redeemable, you know? But after thinking about it, I've really reflected on the previous scenes with him and Gamora, and did the little flashback with him finding her as a kid and, you know, trying to distract her from the horror that he's committing, which is like, when you think about it, a really interesting dichotomy. And I think that's really what the scene was about, is about that dichotomy between, here's this person that's capable of great evil, but it sort of serves as a shocking moment to realize, like, he can be evil, but he does still care about somebody at least enough to get the Soul Stone. Because, let that sink in, he would not have gotten the Soul Stone if he didn't actually care about her. So maybe it's not supposed to make you feel like he's redeemable, but at least it's supposed to show that despite all this horror, it's interesting that he can still find it in that dark, cold heart of his to care about at least one person. And I think that increases the weight of the sacrifice, not the sacrifice, but the fact that Gamora had to die. I don't want to call it a sacrifice because he's already killed so many people, but the fact that Gamora had to die because it was the only one that he had trouble with. You know, he's killed millions, but there was only one death that he had trouble with. So I kind of, you know, after reflecting on it for a few days, I appreciated the dichotomy there more. But the way I initially read it was, this is the Mad Titan at the peak of his madness. And like I said, I get the cognitive dissonance where you're questioning whether he can be redeemed. I think that scene was all about how he cannot ever be redeemed because he took that last final step. So, it was a confusing scene to me, definitely. When I was watching the movie, I was like, I had the same thing. Am I supposed to be empathizing?
Right.
And then I sort of made a point in my mind, like, I don't think we're supposed to empathize. I think we're supposed to see the fact that he gave up the last little tiny sliver of humanity he had left, which was Gamora, and show him at the peak of his cruelty. So that's how I saw it. Two different perspectives there about Thanos. But overall, I thought he was a really cool villain.
Yes.
I really like the fact that the heroes were struggling against him.
Yeah.
They
definitely gave weight to him. Yeah.
Right. I mean, think about what they've done in the past. They fought off an alien invasion. They fought off an invasion of killer robots. They fought each other. You know, you have a god on the team, an Incredible Hulk, who literally cannot die. So you're like, can they ever be beaten? Yeah. Yeah, they can. And this movie showed that over and over again, and goes back to a Pixar quote, another Disney-owned property. They say, you don't cheer for heroes because they succeed. You cheer for heroes because they get knocked down and keep trying. And that made me want them to succeed even more. The fact that I saw them struggle, it made them relatable. It raised the stakes. It kept me on the edge of my seat wondering, can they do it? Can they pull this off? There's something about seeing heroes struggle that really intrigues audience members. And so I really appreciated that fact.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we have to get to the ending then.
Yeah. Yeah. What an ending.
Yeah.
So one of the things I loved about the movie is that he got all the stones.
Yes. That's I'll tell you what, that's another good point. Yeah. The Marvel didn't pull a wimp card. Oh, you get the last stone or
something. One of my biggest worries was it was going to end and he was going to hold up the gauntlet with 5 out of 6 and he's like, now just one more and then, you know, right. Title card. But he got all 6, and what happens when you get all 6 is that you control the very fabric of time and space and reality, and he snaps his fingers and half of the universe is wiped out dead. Which is a huge moment because that also includes our favorite heroes. A lot of big name characters literally evaporated into dust.
Right.
Some emotional scenes there, losing Black Panther, losing Spider-Man. He had an emotional scene with Tony Stark there, his mentor. He's the protege. A lot of big names evaporated into dust. You know, Rocket, Raccoon, Saul, Groot evaporate. I thought it was really cool how they did all those scenes. But it leaves such a large cliffhanger for the next Avengers.
Yes. So
how did it? What did you think of this ending?
All right. So I like the weight that he establishes the gauntlet. He's now the master of the universe, and everything comes to fruition. Marvel didn't pull any punches on that.
Right.
Pull any punches on it. I absolutely love that. But unfortunately, I just don't like the abruptness. It just ended. Like it just literally cuts to black after Thanos realizes what he's done. It literally just cuts to black. And I feel like that's a problem because you're not setting up the next movie at all. What string of hope is there for the heroes left over to what's their next move? I don't know. I don't know. Like what are they supposed to do? And it bothers me. I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up because people have been comparing it to Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
And this is where I have to stand my ground on this. Empire Strikes Back is a great movie because it is, in my opinion, the best sequel of all time because it was better than Star Wars, but it fulfilled its purpose in the arc of the trilogy where it brought you major revelations about characters you thought you knew, and then it set up the stage for the third movie perfectly because at the end of Empire Strikes Back, they know we have to find Han Solo. That's the first step we have to get in order to recover and get our bearings straight and figure out what we're going to do against the Empire. And that's the cliffhanger it leaves you on. And it lets you at least see the trajectory of where you're going to go in the next movie and gives you something to look forward to. This movie, Infinity Wars, just ends. And excluding the post-credit scene, which I know now it's part of the movie, but I don't know. That's also great territory. Excluding that, there's no route. There's no, I don't know where we're supposed to go. And it just, it really left a bad taste in my mouth. I was just like, really? That's just it? Bam? Like, I don't know. I felt like that was just kind of, I don't know, just too
ambiguous.
Yeah.
Vague. Vague is a better term.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the ending was really strange in that it just sort of ended. I didn't have as much a problem with it because there were a few key scenes for me where I was like, okay, I don't totally see eye to eye with disputing the Empire Strikes Back analogy, because they do have a goal in that they need to pick up the pieces and find a way to find Thanos. Thanos is Han Solo. They need to find Thanos, and they need to try and take the Infinity Gauntlet and reverse what had happened. Doctor Strange said at one point, you know, this is the end game now. He gave Thanos the Time Stone because he realizes there's only one universe in which they succeed, and in that universe, Thanos has all the stones. So there are inklings of what they need to do. I think it could have been wrapped up a little better. I think they should have included the post-credits scene into the ending somehow. That probably would that have strengthened it for you?
Yeah.
If that had followed immediately after, or something similar
that
to that?
Yeah, something that just would have given you, like, what is the next step? What where do you go from here?
Right.
Just some sort of just idea of a trajectory. Like, where do we go?
Yeah, I didn't have as much of a problem with it, but I totally see where you're coming from. But speaking of where do we go, I know we're bumping up against the time here, but I want to get to a few theories, because there's some crazy theories, and I really like one in particular. And that is the fact that I don't know if Gamora and Vision are dead. Because, I'll explain why, part of the thing with Vision is that he had the Mind Stone implanted in his head. And one of the key plot points of the movie was that they had to remove the Mind Stone in order to destroy it so that Vision could still live and Thanos wouldn't get the stone. We don't know if they completed that process. So could there be a bit of Vision left in the Time Stone? Similarly, I was reading up on the Soul Stone. People who are killed via the Soul Stone don't necessarily die all the way. They go to a place, I forget what it's called, like Soul World or Soul Land or something somewhere else, right? So perhaps part of the essence of Gamora and the others who have died are somehow contained in that Soul Stone. And I think maybe there's a shred of evidence for this in the fact that the gauntlet looks really ravaged after Thanos snaps his fingers. Yeah. Is there a shred of pushback from possibly Vision and Gamora contained within those stones? I think that's one direction it could go. The other direction I think it could go is the post-credit teaser. Not many people would probably know this. We had to look it up after the movie. Yeah. It was teasing Captain Marvel.
Right.
Which
that's
is
probably where they're going to go.
Right, which is the next hero coming up. Captain Marvel has specific abilities that allow her to control time and space. So, you know, Captain Marvel has these space and time powers. Thanos has these space and time powers. I think Captain Marvel, in conjunction with the possible Soul Stone, Mind Stone funniness going on, might be able to reverse some of the effects. And people who are dead probably won't stay dead. At least those killed by the gauntlet.
Right.
People killed outside of the gauntlet, I think they're dead.
Yeah, those are dead.
Because you need people to die in this. And I am still dead set, and you can quote me on this, that Captain America will die and that Bucky will pick up the shield. We didn't see the shield in this movie. Bucky was a big part of it, as much a part of it as Captain America. Chris Evans, as an actor, director, has been looking to do more projects. So
I
wouldn't completely rule out. And that would be like the one death that would really inspire them to, like, you know, come back together and really push for a last big victory. So those are a few theories that I think we can look to.
Right.
For a possible, or not a possible, but the untitled Avengers movie coming out next year, which I'm dying to know what the title is.
Right.
It was originally Infinity War Part 2, but it's not anymore.
Right. Yeah, that seems kind of basic.
Yeah, Infinity War Part 2. Yeah. So I don't know what it's
at least we only have to wait a year for it.
Right. Oh, 2019 is going to be even better. Can't wait.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. We got some things there to say about Infinity War.
Real quick, give me a numerical score.
Oh, I knew that.
Out
was
of 10.
Coming.
I knew it was coming. Come on. I'm gonna tighten the screws here. Come on.
My thing is the meat of the movie is great. The interactions with the heroes are exactly what you wanted. I think that's the strongest point of the movie is when you get to see the heroes from the different stories come together and work together. I think it still had flaws. I'll go with an 8. 8 out of 10.
Okay. That's funny because I would have pegged you as going lower than that.
Yeah.
Just from some of the feedback that you gave me outside the theater.
I'd say it's definitely a movie to go that you definitely want to see in the theater.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely a theater movie.
Right. But I there's definitely criticism that you can level on it.
There is definitely criticism. I had an easier time swallowing some of that criticism. So I'm going to trend a little bit more positively towards like an 8.6, 8.7.
really specific. 8.6, 8.7.
You got to get specific. I don't do this BS 20 point scale. I do a, what is it? 100 point scale. So
okay.
Yeah, 8.6, 8.7. I think there's a lot of redeeming qualities. The one thing I'll say is if you view this as a movie, as a film separate of the MCU, you're not going to enjoy this.
No, you have to watch.
You absolutely need to be at least somewhat of a Marvel fan.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that you just will straight up not understand.
Yeah, that's right.
So as a film, terrible. But as a Marvel film, excellent.
Right. So there you go. That's our assessment of Infinity War. Maybe go see it again. Why not? In case you want to...
I'm going to go see it again.
Yeah, I know Mike would. But maybe, you know, if you want to, just maybe go over some things maybe you missed, that might be something you want to do this weekend. But for now, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. We got the non-fortune cookie odd news coming up next. I've got some interesting stories there that you're going to want to hear. I even have a local story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So how weird are we going to get?
We're going to get weird. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we're moving right along into the third and final portion of our show. Mike, you know, you've had, so far, I think, everything you wanted. You've had, you know, football talk, the NFL draft, then Marvel with the Infinity War and everything like that, and now you're getting dessert.
Oh, and this has got to be one of my favorite desserts. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news. news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these stories and keeps them hidden from me so that I don't know anything that he's got there. It's the first time I'm seeing these stories, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing them. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I am ready to dive in head first, right into the deep end of weird and strange.
That's right.
Let's do it. Let's get wet. That was weird.
Okay.
Read the first story.
Yes. Isolate that.
No, don't do that.
All right. I teased it. Should I?
Oh, we're going to start with.
Should I start with it?
The local story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should I
do dying
it?
To know, because you made a specific point of mentioning local and really local.
Yeah.
So I got to know, how local are we talking?
We're talking about West Norton, which just outside of Norristown.
That is very local.
Yes. Very local.
It's like 15 minutes away.
Right. For you.
Okay.
This is like 5 minutes away from my house.
This is your backyard.
This is
you. You are the subject of this odd news story.
This is uncomfortably close as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. So what do we have to look out for in the region?
Okay. Well, this really happened. A Pennsylvania woman who was diagnosed with mechanophilia recently caused a disturbance in the neighborhood.
I don't like the sound of that.
If you're wondering what mechanophilia is, it is a It is a rare sexual attraction to specifically vehicles and machines.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I know they say that women like fast cars, but I didn't think they meant it like that.
Yeah. Cops in West Norton received a call about a woman who was randomly running in a roadway and parking lot and was being chased by two other females.
What?
Officers determined that the pursuers were a pair of home health aides that were assigned to the woman.
It's like a bad British comedy where they chase each other around. All in Norristown.
Yep. And here's where it gets really creepy as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
It says in the next sentence, this happened outside of a Marshall's department store at 5:40 p.m.
Wow.
I
that's like the height of rush hour.
Yeah. I know where this is.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is really weird. Like, I know where this parking lot is.
I'm going to look it up. I want to get a visual of exactly where
it is. You probably know where it is.
I probably do know where it is.
Yeah. It's in the little shopping center with there's a Starbucks. There's a Boston Market.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know where it is.
Yeah.
Yep, you got it.
Oh, my gosh. It's super weird.
This is where this odd news story happened.
Okay.
So, when cops approached the woman who was running outside of the store, she revealed her mechanophilia diagnosis, saying that, quote, "I'm not trying to get hit by any cars, but I want to see them. Because I am sexually attracted to them."
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So just look at cars. Why you gotta run around? Wait, was she naked?
No, she wasn't naked.
She was just
clothed. Yeah, that's Florida. No.
Oh, that's, we're not that weird.
Right, we're not that weird.
We only have sexual attractions to automobiles.
That's right.
But we're not weird enough to get naked.
Exactly. Okay. We're not naked. No, that's
so
Florida.
She's just running around...
Trying
to touch cars.
Yeah.
Okay. That's super weird.
So,
why doesn't she just, does she have, here's a question. If you have that sexual leaning, are you allowed to own a car?
Like, sure. I don't, why can't you not own a car?
Well, would it get,
I mean, unless it's actual, like you're debilitating.
Right. Does it like impede your ability to operate it? If you're like, oh, car, oh, accelerate, like, I don't know.
Oh, you know,
accelerate, that's brake, I don't know.
That's,
like, what
that's
you,
the safe word? Brake.
I don't know. What's foreplay with a car? Putting it into drive? I don't, like,
put it in neutral?
Put it in neutral. Oh, yeah, rev. But, like, yeah, what,
You know what?
Like,
I guess
would
you're
it
right.
impede her ability if it, to yeah. operate a vehicle if she's just always super turned on?
I guess you're right. Yeah, if it
by
gets
driving,
if it gets to the point where you're physically distracted and you can't operate a vehicle, yeah, I guess you can't.
Is that why she needed the home care people?
Well, obviously, this woman's far off because she has home health aides.
That's what I'm putting one and one together and two together. And if she needs home health aides, that means that she's got issues that prevent her from doing things.
Right.
So think if she weren't allowed to drive a vehicle because she gets really super distracted, turned on by it, she would need people to go do things like get her groceries, pick up stuff.
Buy her stuff at Marshall's.
Exactly.
Oh.
So I'm just throwing that theory out there that the reason she has them is because she's so turned on by cars, she cannot physically own or drive one.
I guess you're right. Yeah, she would be, because at that point she's a threat to everybody else on the road, too.
Question. Are Matchbox cars essentially sex toys for people with this?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? The little Matchbox cars?
So, yeah. So the definition.
She could stick them places.
Yeah, we could go that route.
Hoo-ah!
But here's the thing. According to the definition here in the news article, it's specifically a sexual attraction to vehicles and machines.
So all machines.
Right. I think it's I guess it's the actual machine. Like the whole combustion engine and everything like that. That's why I don't think that's so I guess a toy car wouldn't work. Toy car doesn't have an engine in it.
Okay. What
did you just Google it?
I did. It's fine. It's just a word.
Okay.
It's involving a sexual attraction.
Don't click images.
No. I'm on the Wikipedia page. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm safe.
Don't search Bing.
That's my default search. No, I'm kidding. So a sexual attraction to machines such as, they give examples, bicycles, motor vehicles, helicopters, ships,
helicopters.
And airplanes.
Oh, boy.
But here's the kicker. It's treated as a crime in some nations, with perpetrators being placed on a sex offenders register after prosecution.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know.
Does that?
Anyway.
Wait. I just found something really weird in this Wikipedia article.
Go ahead.
I don't know if this is true. The Daily Telegraph? I don't know if that's a reputable news source. A man admits to having sex with 1,000 cars.
Sure. Why not? At that rate.
Sorry, I'm like having my own odd news story on top of your odd news story.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right. Well,
finish the story. Yeah. So she's molesting cars and marshals.
Right. So then once the cops finally got her to calm down, they then returned the woman to her residence. And that's when she got very emotional over a white Nissan Pathfinder that she suddenly called her favorite husky bear.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Wow. This
just got super weird.
This one.
That's my favorite husky bear.
This one did the trick.
Wow.
A white Nissan Pathfinder.
That's great marketing for Nissan. It's like, our Pathfinder is so good, it will literally make you orgasm.
Yeah.
People be buying Pathfinders left and right.
All right, so at the end of this episode, we need to call Wawa and we need to call Nissan up.
Yes.
We got some interesting advertisements for you. she actually physically kissed and hugged the car.
Wow. Whose car? Where is she? Whose car is she doing this to? She went home. Is this like just some car parked out on the street? And
right. At this point, this is in a residential area.
Like, how
does anybody in this area own a white Nissan Pathfinder?
Probably lots of people, Rich.
Everybody's
going out to the car like, are you okay?
Right, yeah.
Where did the Narstown lady touch you?
Right, because you probably, that car just got groped.
Question though, how does she live her life? Because there are cars everywhere.
Yeah.
Because she can't resist touching a Pathfinder because she just saw it. Like, how does she, do things?
I don't know. She has to be blindfolded wherever she goes. It
makes driving very difficult. Question. If you walked out in the morning and you saw somebody making out with your with your, you have a Jetta, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? What's going through your mind?
What are you doing?
Well, what are you doing? Please stop kissing my car.
Yeah. That would be preferable. I have to get to work.
I don't know. I might be kind of afraid if I saw somebody doing that to my car. I'd be like, I don't want to interrupt you because I don't know how they're going to take it. I don't know what's going on in this person's mind. I might just go back inside.
Boy, would that be a reason to get out of work?
Oh, my God.
Somebody
at the end of the year when we do the work excuse thing.
Somebody is making out with my car.
Boss, I can't get to my car. Somebody's having sexual relations with it right now.
Yeah.
And the boss is like, are you having sexual relations with your car? No. This is a stranger.
Yeah. And if you don't believe me, come on over.
I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah.
And then you get fired. Yeah, what a work excuse. You should try that sometime.
All right.
See if it works.
No, see, the problem is, if you're talking about for me and my car, and the dealer and the job I have with the car dealership,
like, that's normal.
Right. No, yeah. They'll be like, bring her in. We need to sell a car.
We have a couple of cars that we need to sell.
Right. She might be interested.
Yeah, that's a sales lead for your line of work. Got any leads? Well, let me tell you about this one.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. The woman's name was redacted from the report released by police.
That's a shame.
But the cops also noted that she also tried to hump another vehicle nearby.
Oh, my God. She can't stop.
Yeah. But then apparently this goes the other way because then there was another vehicle that drove by that she did not like. And Whoa. She yelled at it viciously.
How do you yell at something viciously?
You suck.
I don't like you.
Boo.
Does she only go for certain types of cars?
I guess so.
Like, what's her type?
A white Nissan Pathfinder,
so
obviously.
So she likes big white cars.
Wait, that's racist.
That's racist.
She's not very open-minded.
My mind is going to terrible places.
She only likes the white cars. What?
Woman takes BBC. Stands for something else. Big black car.
Whole different definition online.
People are like, oh, that sounds good. What the hell's going on here? Oh, man.
Okay.
This got R-rated.
Yeah, very quickly here. But anyway, one of the cops noted that she explained to the woman that she could not go outside because she causes a disturbance.
Well, yeah.
So there you go. There's your answer. She literally can't go outside.
Wow. That's why she needs two home aides, Rich.
Wow.
That's a lot of home aides.
For one person, I guess
you're
right.
Yeah.
So the woman's health aide also told cops to not put their hands on her because she will run away. Okay, I'm glad that the police report mentions
just,
that.
It's just tacked on the other hand. Don't touch her, she's going to run away.
I'm having a feeling like this is like... Is this like a bulletin now for Norristown? We all need to like be aware.
Watch out for this woman.
Yep. She's now a part of the town and she's here whether you like it or not.
I feel like people should know so you don't accidentally park near there.
Yeah.
Man. Who knew?
Yeah. I'm going to be careful the next time I park at Marshall's now.
Where's this? West Narton?
Yeah.
Man. That's insane.
This is literally my backyard. This is a little creepy.
It really is.
I'm not going to lie. So, to all my fellow Norristown residents, you need to watch out for your car.
Be careful, Rich.
Yeah.
Be careful.
There's going to be some strange...
Make sure your Jetta has protection.
Yeah. There's going to be some strange things happening. All right. How about we move on to other stories here? I got one in California here for you.
Okay.
And I think you're going to like this story here. Pasadena police didn't have to look long for a burglary suspect who broke into a local Taco Bell on Saturday. And my bell didn't ring. Okay, all right. Thanks, Taco Bell.
No, it's just Taco.
I guess they're closed.
There's no bell.
Oh, there it is.
Alarmingly loud bell.
They opened up now. They were closed. They opened up. Anyway, a man later showed up at the police station and admitted that he was the one that broke into the Taco Bell. Lieutenant Jesse Carrillo said that they reviewed footage, so they obviously pinned him, so there you
right,
go.
Right.
He knew there was no way of getting out. But then, as they were reviewing the footage further, they saw that he didn't steal any money, But instead, he opened up taco shells and ate over 10 packages of them.
How many taco shells are in a package? Because that is an alarming amount of tacos.
Yes.
No, sorry, not tacos. Taco shells.
Right, specifically the taco.
It's just the tortilla part.
Right. No, no, actually, it goes on further here.
Oh, we get more specific.
Specifically, okay. The ranch Dorito taco shell.
Oh, that's cheating. That's just eating Doritos. Right?
I guess you're right.
Yeah, if something's made out of it, it doesn't like...
But then why don't you just go to a store and grab a bag of Doritos?
Because this was more interesting.
Right.
That's how you make... Rich, that's how you decide what to eat. You go, what's more interesting? Breaking into a Taco Bell to eat taco-shaped Doritos or just buying a bag of Doritos?
They also noted that another package of the Dorito taco shells crumbled and fell to the floor.
Oh, no.
I know. Yeah, boy.
Such a weird, like, point to make. Like, crumbled and fell to the floor. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jeez. So heartbreaking.
Yeah. Those 5-cent shells. they also noted in the police report that the man admitted that he was drunk and hungry and broke into the Taco Bell because he loved the taco shells specifically.
That's just such a weird thing.
Yeah, right?
Just the shells.
Right.
That's a lot of taco shells to eat.
Police received a call about the possible burglary at 3:15 in the morning on Saturday.
Yep, that checks out.
Yep. About 4 hours later, a man approached a sergeant who was standing in front of the police station. That's when he said that the man wore clothing that matched the description of the suspect that was given by a witness. And that's when the man admitted that he was the one that broke into the restaurant.
So the man found the police and admitted it.
Yeah.
If I'm understanding that correctly.
Correctly, yes.
Okay. I guess he was just feeling really guilty. That's what that amount of taco shells does to a person.
Right. But he knew he wasn't going to get away with it.
Right.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell. Incherito, macho, burrito.
Jose Cruz of Pasadena was arrested on suspicion of commercial burglary. He's being held on a $20,000 bail. What?
Whoa.
Come on.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We've had stories where people are flashing each other and having sex outside, and it's like, oh, it's like $500. $20,000 for eating a couple of taco shells that probably cost about a nickel each?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Taco Bell doesn't play around.
No, they don't. They like to put on a whole front of being friendly to stoners and people looking for late night food that's going to make you crap your guts out. But no, they are ruthless.
Yeah.
They will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law.
It's also Pasadena, so that's a pretty wealthy area, too. So all the bail money goes up to
right, him. Right, right.
That was my logic.
Jaywalking, that's $7,000.
Oh, okay.
Did you loiter? That's $5,000.
Yeah. All right, let's do... Oh, I got another California story.
Okay, staying in Cali.
Two California stories. Interesting.
All right.
West Coast trying to make some waves here.
Yeah.
This one is just a short story, but funny to imagine. A graduation ceremony at a California university was interrupted and stopped by a pair of pelicans that swooped on down on the crowd of graduates.
Manny, look at this. Pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
Yeah, woo!
Pelicans are California geese.
Manny, look at this. Pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
Come on, pelican.
Come on. Nah, that's not what those people were saying.
Manny, look at this. Pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
Grant Dillon posted video on YouTube showing spectators at the Pepperdine University graduation in Malibu who had to take cover from the attack of the pelicans. One of the pelicans landed among the crowd and actually made its way to the stage.
Manny, look at this pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
So basically, you want it to get its own diploma.
Yeah. You know, the pelican's just trying to better itself.
Right. It's trying to advance in society.
Exactly.
Come on.
I will say this, though, that I totally understand what they were going through. Because pelicans are basically the geese of California. They're
yes, and you have experience
vicious,
with geese fighting.
Terrifying, hell-spawn birds that just want nothing more than to kill the entire human race. I'm fully convinced of that. Nobody can convince me otherwise. We need to kill all the geese and pelicans and seagulls before they get us.
Manny, look at this. Pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
Well, maybe Scarface would disagree with you.
Yeah, he'd be on the opposite side of the Great Bird War. Hold on, though. Real talk.
Yes, real talk.
Birds are terrifying. Can we just agree on that point?
No. All birds in general?
Kind of.
Sure? I don't, what?
You don't think birds are terrifying? You're on the beach. You're eating a supersada sandwich.
All right, well, you're Mike, I hate to break this to you. You're the only one that brings a supersada sandwich onto the beach with you.
No. There's 16 other people with me.
Yeah, your family. That's it. Nobody else does that.
Okay. What type of sandwich do you eat on the beach?
Nobody brings sandwiches to the beach.
That's impossible.
Nobody in their right mind brings sandwiches to the...
Come on. No, some other people.
No, you don't bring sandwiches. No.
Okay. What do you eat on the beach?
You bring beer.
What do you eat on the beach?
You don't even know. You just bring beer. You're supposed to, like, chill and relax on the beach. You're not supposed to have a full course dinner
with a chicken cutlet or supersized sandwich. I don't understand what we're not understanding here.
Only your family does that, Mike. Nobody brings chicken cutlet to the beach.
What about stuffed peppers? Okay. Food aside, you're sitting on the beach. And you're eating something, anything, and
you're not supposed to be eating.
Shut up, Rich. You're on the boardwalk.
This is the problem.
You're on the boardwalk, and you're eating something, and you see those seagulls coming for you. What do you do?
Now, a better example.
I know what you do. You throw a plate of pizza crust into the air, and you run away, and you leave me behind to be assaulted by seagulls.
Yes.
That's what you do.
I can't possibly comment, but... But no. So
birds are terrifying.
Seagulls are very.
They have geese are scary too.
I don't know. I've never had a geese encounter. You're the one with the geese encounter.
You come to my company and you walk outside for more than 5 minutes and you'll know about geese.
Okay.
Birds are terrifying. They have the height advantage. They can dive bomb you. They have sharp beaks. They have little talons. They can poop on you. Birds are terrifying. Okay. I'd rather fight a dog than a bird.
Okay, there you go.
Kick a dog, but I can't kick a bird. I'm just saying, if worse comes to worse.
I'm going to isolate that.
Of course you are. I can kick a dog, but I can't kick a bird. You kick my dog.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to put that. I'm going to overlay that with the, oh my gosh.
You might kick my dog. I can kick a
you
dog.
You a bad man. You a bad, very oh bad man. You kick my dog.
But come on. You have to agree. If you're attacked by a dog, you can kick it. But if you're attacked by a bird, you're not roundhousing a seagull out of the air.
Unless you're Chuck Norris.
That's right.
All right. Where was I on this story? I don't even know.
You're talking about pelicans attacking your graduation.
Right.
So, and I had some very real PTSD flashbacks to all the times I've been attacked by birds.
So, this was in Malibu.
Okay.
The pelican then refuses to be deterred, and officials attempt to shoo it away.
See, they needed to bring in officials to shoo it away. This is serious.
Manny, look at this. Pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
School officials said that eventually they were escorted away from the ceremony. So, it took some time, but eventually the pelicans were taken away. So they're good.
Did you see the story recently about some golfers in our area that were attacked by a goose?
Yes.
You see the pictures? The one ended up upside down.
Yes. Which I still don't know how that happens.
Geese.
I don't understand how you end up upside down. I can understand panicking and everything like that. I don't understand how you end up upside down.
I can't believe you've never been attacked by a goose before.
No, I never.
I've been attacked by geese twice.
Nope. Seagulls, but no, not goose. Nope. All right. How about let's restore some more crazy insanity. Let's go with some Florida stories here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
We're gonna keep up the fast food theme here. It could be said that that 62-year-old Michael Girardin went to jail for having it his way at a local Burger King. That's because he's accused of going ballistic at the fast food eatery. Police say that at 10:30 p.m. on Saturday, 62-year-old Michael Girardin was trying to go in the door and banging on the window. Yeah, obviously the restaurant itself is closed there.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
If you bang on it hard enough, it will open up.
If you bang it, they will come.
If you bang it, they will come.
Yeah. A manager responded and told him to leave and not to return. He then left, but then came back. So I guess he forgot the message.
Right.
Police say that at 11:30, he returned to the Burger King, stumbled, was drinking something from a brown paper bag. I wonder what it is. Picked up a yellow bicycle.
What?
Okay. And punched the drive-through speaker box.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
What does picking up the bike have to do with punching a speaker box? Those sound like two completely different things.
Maybe he used the bicycle to smash?
Maybe. In my mind, I like to envision like he just walks over to the bike, picks it up, puts it back down, and then punches the speaker box because that's the way it's written.
So... Oh, no, I'm right.
He hit the speaker box with the bike.
Right. It says, according to the police report, he smashed his bike into the speaker box until the box completely fell off.
Oh, wow.
Wow, he was angry.
Some real rage right there.
Yeah.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
So, question. It was his bike.
Yes.
So he biked there, I guess.
Right.
Okay. He biked there drunk.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds really dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know how you keep your balance.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
The speaker box is valued at over $1,000. He then began yelling foul language all over the parking lot. This was the wrong guy to piss off, man.
Yeah.
He really wanted a Whopper.
Man.
He was then arrested by cops and taken to jail. At the jail, investigators also found a small amount of marijuana in his pants.
Makes sense.
Girardin, who's listed as homeless, was arrested on the charges of trespassing, criminal mischief, and bringing a controlled substance into a holding facility. So he's going to get some charges thrown at him. I also love the way it just says Girardin, who's listed as homeless.
Right.
Like if you type it up in like the official like cop computer, bloop, homeless.
Oh, homeless.
You know? Was it CSI where they have like... Enhance, you know, so right? Yeah. Address, please. Bloop.
Homeless.
Homeless.
I think it's interesting that he's homeless, but he has a bike.
Yes.
I don't know.
At least he can get somewhere.
Right.
He may not smell good, but he can get there. All right, another Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And here's another interesting one to think about. A Florida woman who was awakened early Tuesday morning by, quote, the sounds of loud moaning, discovered a random naked man sprawled out on her deck, complete with massage oil and a sex toy nearby.
Oh!
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's some next level clipping right there.
Yeah. She also noted that, quote, bodily secretions were on her patio windows.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah.
Ew. Why the windows?
Yeah. Just lost control.
Just lost control. I can't control it. That, of course, was exclusive audio of the loud moaning.
Yes. cops responded to a call at 2:15 in the morning. They found 30-year-old Christopher Worrell, quote, completely nude. The woman told officers that she was startled by his presence, whom she did not know at all.
Yeah.
After being detained by police, Worrell said that he wanted to speak to investigators. However, Worrell was then uncooperative. So there you
go. What did he want to speak to them about?
I guess he was going to try and plead his case, but then realized that it was all...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You were discovered naked on the porch.
And you're...
With bodily secretions.
Right. All over the window.
Yeah. Did you say that he was sprawled out, though?
Yeah, when the woman went to check on the patio, yeah.
So, did he hit the windows from down there, or was he standing up near the windows, or?
Well, he hit the patio windows. That's the first floor.
Right. But I'm saying, like, where
was
he?
Wasn't a projectile.
Like, what? No, like, it's like a mortar shot.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, where is he sprawled out in conjunction to these windows? Like,
just on the patio.
But under the windows, across from the windows, like, I don't know.
I guess across? Because you need to have a line of sight.
Right, you need to have a line of sight and an angle. It's not curving the bullet, you know?
It's not a magic bullet here.
Right.
Anyway, Worrell was charged with lewd and lascivious behavior.
My favorite charge.
Now get this. Okay. How much do you think his bond was?
Like $5.
$250.
That's it?
You're telling
Hold time out.
All right.
The person from the earlier story.
Who only ate.
He broke into a Taco Bell and ate empty taco shells.
Right. $20,000.
Right. $20,000. This dude is naked on somebody's private property, jizzing on the windows.
Yeah.
$250.
Yeah.
Now you know the value of taco shells versus jizz. Am I allowed to say that word?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Or I'll find out.
We'll see if we get a notice. But, yeah, man, this is, yeah. Thank you for it.
Well, now you know. If you're ever in that situation, it's only $250.
Right. Have some fun.
That's almost like inviting it.
Yeah. Compared to the
$20,000
one.
If you could
do
that. Like, the thrill of, like, almost getting caught and everything for only $250? I feel like more people would want to try it after learning that. Now, if you told me it was $20,000, there's no way in hell.
Yeah.
People be crazy.
All right, I got one more story here for you, and it's our last story of the night, and it's also Florida as well.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, I know you love these kinds of stories here. A Florida man was arrested on Sunday after he was pulled over by a Florida Highway Patrol trooper. He then asked the trooper if he could just, quote, run away from the scene and then offered him a bribe of, quote, getting him more meth than he had in his car.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah, so think about this logic here.
Oh, man.
He
okay.
was pulled over.
Right.
All right.
He asks permission to run away?
Yeah. Let me run away.
Okay.
And then his ace in the hole was going to be, I can get you more meth than I have in my car.
Wow.
The cop wasn't even going to search your car.
He wasn't even there for the meth.
Right. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, man. That cop was like, wow, I hit the jackpot with this one.
Yeah. Look at what I found over here, Sparky.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Can he be charged with resisting arrest if he asks permission?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. Well, anyway, let's see the story here.
Okay, let's see the story. This is just stupidly insane.
32-year-old Scott Eklund was arrested on charges of methamphetamine possession and driving with a suspended license. He was arrested earlier this month after he crashed a Chevrolet truck into a house, and then he claimed he was an FBI agent.
What?
Wow, this guy has some great excuses.
That's the best.
Everyone, don't worry. It's okay. I'm an FBI agent.
Oh, my God. You just plow into somebody's living room. You crush little Timmy. You're like, it's all right. I'm with the FBI.
It's and okay.
Like, why did you need to crash into my living room? I'm with the FBI. Oh, my God.
That is the best.
Oh, my God.
That is the best excuse I've heard for crashing your car into somebody's living room.
What about the FBI?
I am the FBI.
What Is he coming from Twin Peaks?
Jesus.
That's a quote from Twin Peaks.
I am the FBI.
Maybe that's what he was Maybe he was trying to unleash his inner Dale Cooper.
That must be it.
While he was driving.
That must be it.
What about the FBI?
I am the FBI.
That's the best part of the story. I think I was just casually mentioned. Oh, he was arrested last month after he crashed into a home and said he was with the FBI. Just like, whatever. Just, you know, little tiny tidbit.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So.
What? Back up. Let's just, hypothetically speaking. If the people actually believed he was with the FBI, what reason does he have?
To crash into
your house.
I was on a very intense car chase.
Oh, my God. It's just so stupid.
What about the FBI?
I am the FBI.
So anyway, to get back to the main story, on Sunday afternoon, a Florida Highway Patrol trooper got on the road on South Apopka Vineland Road. What a name.
Wow.
that is the real name.
Could you imagine
the
giving directions in Florida? It's like, turn left at the Naked Man, make a right on, what was it?
South
Apothecary?
South Apopka Vineland Road.
Jeez.
Eklund was driving a blue Chevrolet Impala. He loves his Chevrolets.
He's a Chevy guy.
Yep, Chevy guy all the way, apparently. The trooper wrote in his arrest report that he had to search Eklund's car after he admitted that he had meth in the car.
No kidding.
And he did find meth and a scale.
Okay.
At that point, Eklund continued to talk nonstop.
Why stop there?
Right. You might as well keep admitting what you did.
You asked a cop for permission to flee the scene of a crime. You willfully admitted that you had meth and then offered to give even more meth to the cop.
Yeah, just keep going.
That's three for three.
Yeah.
Keep up the streak.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Please tell me he pulled the FBI thing again.
Apparently not. But according to the police report, the trooper wrote that, quote, "I literally have no idea what he said afterwards. Mr. Eklund was making absolutely no sense during our conversation. But he did mention that he could get me more illegal substances that I'd found on him."
That's such a strange police report.
Right.
It's like, look, I got no idea what this fool was talking about. He offered me a lot of meth, though.
Right. Something about being an FBI agent. But
right.
No, he.
Oh, my God.
But that's in the police report. I literally have no idea what he was talking about.
That's great. You got to be some sort of special crazy for the cops just to shrug and be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I give
just
up.
The arrest report's just IDK. IDK, bro.
I give up. And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap this episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, first off, I learned that if you ever find yourself in the tricky situation of crashing into a person's home, just tell them you're with the FBI.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I'm an FBI agent.
The FBI does it all the time.
I am the FBI.
Exactly. That's all you got to say.
There you go.
But if that fails, just know that jizzing on windows is only a $250 bail. That's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
Stealing taco shells. Oh, boy.
That's the biggie. Taco Bell's going to hit you with everything, man. Bail for eating taco shells is $20,000.
Wow.
One of these things just doesn't seem like it lines up properly.
Yeah.
But I also learned that, speaking of weird things not lining up properly, that mechanophilia is a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that was possible, but sure.
It is, and it's local.
Whatever floats your boat, literally.
Yeah, or your car.
Or your car. Or any machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very alarming that it is super local. It's like literally in your backyard.
I've learned I'm not going to go to Marshall's anytime soon.
Right, exactly.
Until I hear that this lady is secured, I'm not going to go to Marshall's.
You don't want your car being defiled like that.
Yeah.
But we did learn that Nissan has some really great advertising opportunities with this lady, because she's very attracted to Pathfinders specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White Nissan Pathfinders.
Right. They're her bear or whatever she said. So, yeah. You know, if Nissan wants to thank us for that amazing lead.
Her favorite husky bear.
There you go. Favorite husky bear. Speaking of animals, though, we learned that birds are terrifying.
I can see it.
Yes, exactly. People might not believe me at first, but mark my words, they are demon spawns sent here to kill us all, and we have to stop them.
Okay. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Moodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go, folks. Another crazy episode of the Chris Moodle Podcast in the books. I feel like this one had everything you wanted, Mike. The Eagles NFL draft, some Marvel Infinity War talk, and
people having sex with cars.
Right, something you didn't know. Mechanophilia. Yeah.
There's a philia for everything.
That's right. If you try hard enough.
If you try hard enough,
anything's a philia.
Okay.
So, this has been the Chris Moodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on our show, make sure to check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And find us on Instagram as well. Just search The Crispy Noodle Podcast, and you'll find us there as well.
That's right. But if you got a real bad case of crispy noodle-philia, you're going to want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, where you'll find lots of interviews, video noodles, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So search for download and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast that are shrunk down to a quick 2 to 2 minute promo that you can easily share with friends and family on the go. That is the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
There you go. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mike Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. We'll respond back to you. You know, let us know what's happening. But for the time being right now, we're going to have to wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. And also one more thing. Go Sixers. They're starting their next series.
Yeah.
Let's see if the streak continues here in the City of Champions here in Philadelphia.
That's right. Keep this amazing 2018 going.
Yep. But that will wrap it up for us right now. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.